We're going to read, starting tonight in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. The phrase that God gave me to preach about tonight is the elements of faith. And I'm just going to simply read this to you because it confirms, because I want you to know how great that God is. That if he can put it in his presence to speak through the mouth of two or three, let it be confirmed by then. So let's read in the sixth verse, Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those who love the Lord Jesus Christ want to please him more than all else. Those who please God must have faith. Faith is much more than a desire or wish for something. God's word gives us the essential elements for faith to bring forth the reward that God desires for us. Faith begins with God. The first thing that the Lord gave me tonight was that in order to strengthen our faith, we must learn to receive what it says in the Greek as the rhema, or the word of God. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word, or as it says in the Greek, the rhema of God. Faith is initiated in us when God speaks a rhema or word to us. The translated phrase, word of God, is used for two different Greek words with very different meanings. One word is logos, which is used to denote or a discourse or teaching. It is a general word that can apply to anyone. And the other is rhema, which is a specific word given to a specific individual for a specific situation. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 6 gives us an excellent example of the distinction between two different types of words. In verse 1 of chapter 5 of Luke, it says, and it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. When you hear that phrase, word of God, that is the Greek translation of logos. They were going to hear a teaching. And then verse 2 says, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed for him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. This was the rhema word. This was the word that was given to that individual in that moment. This was something that when God gives you that kind of word, the only way that you can be blessed is if you learn to receive what God has to say. Oftentimes we skip over our rhema word. We come and we hear teaching, we're here preaching, but it's in those intimate times when you really seek God that he can give you a rhema word, that he can speak to your situations and tell you to walk away from something that maybe is hindering you, to keep your peace in something maybe when you should, to cause your ways of decisions to lead you to a more prosperous outcome. They had to follow this rhema word of God to understand what they would get out of it. Verse 5 says, and Simon answering unto him said, Master, we've told all the night and have taken nothing. And he said, but nevertheless, at thy word, he was saying, nevertheless, I'm going to receive what you have for me. Nevertheless, I'm going to follow what you have given me. Because to many, it's going to seem crazy. But when it's your rhema word, it's your word alone. Nobody else can prosper in it except you as an individual. And when God speaks to those intimate things in your life, even when you feel like you've launched out as far as you can go and through all the nets that you've got, he can still bless you abundantly. And when they had done this, it says in verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. What I see here is that they didn't begin just envisioning a net full of fish. They had done all they could as man. But yet when God spoke the word over it and they received that word by faith, that obedience that came as a result of receiving it caused them to be blessed abundantly beyond what they could even carry in their nets. We might be looking for blessings and desiring things to happen, but I would rather have a genuine word of the Lord than any possession in this world. I could desire for many things in life, but unless I'm hearing what the Spirit will tell me, none of that other stuff means anything. It's that Word of God that comes to us that causes faith to be initiated. He'll speak to you and begin to bring faith out of you. And Jesus is the author and finisher of that, and we know that. Let's go ahead and move on to the next section. The second thing that God gave me is that we must learn to believe in the word that we've been spoken. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20, and it says, "And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be," say this word with me, "established." Established, believe his prophets, so and so shall ye prosper. Faith proceeds no further until we learn to believe it. You can have it preached to you all that you want to. Maybe a lot of people was ignoring what the Lord was saying through you, and this is how we act as human beings. God's trying to give us, one, a very personal rhema word, something that'll cause us to end up being a better individual, a more giving, caring individual, but we just ignore that because we're looking only by the faith of what we can grab and consider that blessings. But I found that I've been with nothing before and been more satisfied than had I had everything that my heart has ever called out for God to bless me with. There's been some times that he's had to take away from me before I could learn just how blessed I was. There's been times I've had to hurt before I knew how blessed I was. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9 says, "And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If ye will not believe, surely ye shall not be established." Believing can be quite simple if we understand how something can be achieved, but difficult when it is beyond our comprehension. And that's where we mostly stumble. Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding." The only way you're going to receive a true word of God is when you stop trying to comprehend it your way. Because Noah didn't exactly have one of those words that he could confirm that was genuinely normal. In fact, in a time where there was not much rain going on, not much going on around him, he was spoken something in an unexpected time, a rhema word that had anybody else did it, it would not have prospered them. But he was willing to receive the word and believe what God was trying to get him to do. Here's what's going on in our churches today. We're preaching our hearts out. We're prophesying our hearts out. And we're only taking what we feel like fulfills the desire of what we want instead of trying to fulfill the desire of doing God's will. And when we get caught up in just the things we're desiring, we can stumble on our own faith because our faith is not fully established in the Word of God. So what does it mean to believe? Believing is being so fully persuaded that what God has said is true, that our words and actions portray a confidence that it is so. And if we truly believe what God has spoken to us, we will move on to the other necessary responsibilities. You will then no longer care about if you're seeing something happen because you are focused on the true will of God and purpose of what you should be doing. And when what I'm talking about there is that you begin to get the things off your mind that you are concerned for and more concerned about the well-being of your brothers and sisters. And when we come in and have that kind of confidence in God, we won't sit back and look forward wondering when he's going to move over this, but we'll know that he is already moving in that which we pray for. It might not be in our understanding. It might not be in our time frame. It might not even be the way that we want it to be. But if we will give God our full trust in faith, believing the words he's spoken to us, we're going to be made more than overcomers. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. What we truly believe will issue forth out of our mouth." The word that initiates faith is confirmed or denied out of our mouth. We are warned not to waver in professing what God has spoken to us through his word. no matter the circumstances that begin to develop around us. The third thing you've got to do to build up faith is to confess what God has spoken over your life. If you have received a prophecy that says that your sons or daughters or husbands or cousins or friends, anybody is going to be saved and delivered, and you go right out of there and say, I don't know if there's going to be a way, I don't know if it's going to happen, you are killing and quenching the very word of God that could initiate the very move of God that you really want to see. See, the Lord wants you to believe unwavering, and it will show in what you do, and it will show in what you say. I'm here to tell you that you are not coming to 13th Street to get a perfect attendance award. You are not coming to this church to make sure that everybody else sees you coming to church. You're not here tonight just to put your money in the plate. You're not here tonight just to listen to the singing. You're not here just to listen to somebody preach to you. You are here to build up that faith that will cause the things out there to begin to change and work for your good. But until our faith is established, our services are inconsistent, we're not able to get into the almighty presence of God. I'm talking about Holy of Holies experience, not this half-hearted stuff that we're presenting to God and saying that it's okay. I'm talking about a faith-building kind of experience that when you go out of here, that you're more confident in the God that you serve. You might not think that I'm too confident in the things that I believe in, but I don't worry or waver about what I need God to do. As long as I am doing His will and doing His purpose, then He said, all of these other things shall be added to me. That's my confidence. If I go home tonight and I've got an eviction notice, or my house is to the ground, or my car breaks down, or I'm fired of my job on Monday, the one thing that the devil's not going to take is the same thing he couldn't take from Job. The one thing that the enemy cannot take from you is a faith that's been established. If you're going to come in with half-hearted faith, you might as well hand it to the devil and say, take everything I am and just throw me away. But the kind of faith that God wants you to have is the kind of faith that doesn't change when something begins to get worse before it gets better. He wants you to be so established that when people see your confidence, that it'll make them be confident. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 23 said, let us hold fast to the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Many people begin to say things that destroy faith when circumstances do not transpire as they had visualized. Some make slanderous statements defaming God's name and character, just flat out saying they don't see a way. And you might not think that that's of any detriment to your life. Nobody may even hear you say it. You may just think it, but it is killing your faith. And I can come in here and do all that I can to build it back up. But if you're going to go out and be irresponsible with the faith that God's given you, don't expect anything to be different. And when things get worse, don't expect things to get better. Because until you can learn to see it by faith, then you'll never see that it's going to be better, even when things grow more difficult. I'm here to tell somebody right now that this is being confirmed out of the mouth of two or three witnesses. I wouldn't have did it if they hadn't got all over what the Lord had put in my spirit, but it is time that we as elders of the church begin to walk in an established faith. Established faith is going to not change their mind from service to service. Notice Israel's testimony of God when they heard the evil report of the 10 spies. They said, would God that we would have died in the land of Egypt, or would God that we had died in the wilderness? Numbers 14, verse 2. Their confession kept them from entering the land. The Bible says that the power of life and death is in your tongue. So no matter how hard it is to say a good thing in a bad time, I'm here to tell somebody, you've got to learn to speak a good thing in a bad time, because that's the greatest test of your faith. Are you willing enough to say something good in a bad time? Are you able when you're poor to talk like you're rich? Are you able when you're sick to speak like you're healed? That's what God's looking for. That's the faith that He wants to establish. That's what He wants to create in you stronger, so that you won't be wavered by the world's opinion or wavered by what they say about you. What did they receive from God as a result of confessing against their faith? They died in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness just by unbelief. That should tell us how powerful our words can be.